The Holy Ghost is here. And I learned some time ago that no matter how you may feel, how you may look, or what circumstances are in your life, that God is good in the midst of it all. And He can use you. You know, He doesn't depend on your ability as much as He does your availability. Praise God. If we're available, God can use us. I learned, in fact, I learned a lesson again just a few weeks ago. I had come in off of one of these long trips that had made me very tired. You know, when you travel and you drive 1,400 miles or so, and you're by yourself, you don't have to worry about people looking at you because nobody on the road knows you, so you don't bother to shave, and your hair gets messed up. Who cares, you know? You go, when you want to eat, just go through the drive-thrus and get out of there before they say anything to you. And time I got home, it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. My shirt tail was out. I carried my shoes in, and I just stopped by the restroom, took my teeth out, and dropped them in a bowl, and fell in a chair. And I was tired. And about 2 hours later, there was a knock on my door. I didn't want to get up and go to the door, but see, I sleep in the basement of our little church over there in Norwich. And somebody knocks on the door, you never can tell what it's going to be, and it's always interesting to see what's going to happen next. So I got up barefooted with no teeth, hair messed up, shirt tail out. Hadn't shaved in a couple of days. Still had this stuff in your eyes that you get when you sleep, and stuff probably coming down my chin. And went to the door. And there was this guy standing there. I said, "Yeah?" He said, "May I come in?" I said, "Come on in." I sat down. He said, "Now, this is a church, right?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You the preacher?" I opened my mouth and no teeth. I said, "Yeah." He said, I've been around a lot of preachers, but I've never seen one like you. And he said, "I've been turned off by a lot of religion. Off by a lot of religion." And he said, "I just thought I'd come in here and check you out." And I thought, my Lord, what a time for a man to show up to want to know about what we're all about. He said, "So tell me what you believe." Well, I opened my hole in the front of my face and started talking. Started telling him God loves him and how Jesus paid the price that he could be free from sin. But I didn't stop at just believing. I went on and told him how his life could be changed in my toothless way of saying it. And I sat in there, and after every once in a while, he'd look at me and he'd say, "You're the funniest looking preacher I've ever seen." Well, guess what God did? You remember that Puerto Rican brother that I baptized in Jesus' name the other night? He used to hear a while back that I guess he's one of the last ones I baptized. He's the one I'm talking about. That's who it was. Don't matter what you look like, what you feel like, where you're coming from. It's the availability. Hallelujah. God gave him the Holy Ghost after he was baptized. He went home and got the Holy Ghost. He won't miss a service, brings his whole family. You know, his wife was here taking pictures of him that night. She was very standoffish. She's not used to all this kind of stuff. Now she's coming to church and looking like she's always been one of us. And she would fit right into this crowd tonight. You wouldn't recognize her. God, I'm going to tell you why. When God changes the heart, you don't have to preach standards to anybody. You don't have to tell anybody how to dress when God fixes a heart. God knows what He wants, and He fixes it. But sometimes people can't listen, so we have to help a little bit. Through the foolishness of preaching, to try to convince some that we are supposed to change when we get the Holy Ghost. It'd be awful if we had to make everybody change. Man, if I had to police everybody that I try to preach to, I'd have a job on my hands. I knew a preacher down south. He would go around peeping through people's windows to see if they had a TV in their home. He's a peeping Tom. But they ran him off. Amen. You can't control people. You can't make people live right. But we can sure preach the Word of God, and God has a way of working on the heart, doesn't He? Holiness is something beyond how we dress. But yet, you can tell by looking at a person how they have changed, and many times you can tell they're clothed in righteousness by simply looking at the clothes they wear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not a clothesline preacher. In fact, we had a man come to, but I would, you know, I believe I could preach on about anything I want to here if it has to do with holiness, and you'd say amen, because you can just look at this crowd and see that either God or Brother Geddes has dressed you up. Hallelujah. But that's not my job. You know, I just love to preach about what God can do to the heart. But we had a fellow come to our church, and we had this little group of people who had been there for about 4 or 5 years. We were, you know, when I went to Norwich, I didn't have anybody. It's just me and my two daughters. That was it. I didn't know anybody. I'd never been in New England in my life. I got to Norwich with $1 in my pocket, and we spent that right after we got there. Ran out of gas, sitting on the side of the road in an old van with no gas, and my daughter's begging for hairspray. And I didn't have any money. I had driven from Arkansas to Norwich, Connecticut, and ran out of money when I got there. Didn't know anybody. And we just felt like that's where God wanted us, and so we started. And I probably told this here, but I'll just tell a little bit, and I'm gonna maybe give you a long introduction and a real sharp message. But I just, you know, I've been coming over here preaching to you and preaching during the Thanksgiving time. We haven't really taken a lot of time to get acquainted. But I just feel like part of your family, so let me just tell you a little bit about some good things that have happened here. I came up here with my two daughters, and things had happened, and it left us holding on to each other and trying to see what God would do next. And here we were in a town where we'd never been, in a state where we'd never been, and with people that we didn't know, and everybody to us talked funny. And we're just Arkansas hillbillies. And so I went into a restaurant, and the lady looked at me and said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Arkansas." She said, "Go back." She was a New Englander, if I ever saw one. "Go back." She said, "I've been living here all my life. I hate this place. You hate it, too." And she said, "What are you going to do here?" I said, "Start a church." She said, "We've already got too many, and they're all empty. Why do we need with another one?" But anyhow, but there we were. And a little time went by, and finally we were able to get a few people together, one by one. I'm telling you, if you're a preacher and you're thinking about going out and starting somewhere, you better give it some more thought. The longer you can sit under a pastor and be obedient and be faithful in a local church, the better off you are. You don't know what you're asking for if you just want to go start something. You better let God start you out. Praise God, because I've seen a lot of my friends say, "God called me, I'm going to do a work." They get out there and they get shot down by the devils. If the devil can shoot you down, you're not doing the right work somehow. If the devil can defeat you, you're not on God's side. The devil can't defeat God's people. I've seen a lot of preachers go out and start churches and come back drunk. All disappointed in the people, you know, "Oh, they caused me to do this." Nobody makes anybody backslide. Nobody can make you quit God if you know Him. Hallelujah. Somebody called me on the phone and said, "That church made me backslide." Uh-uh. Didn't do it. Praise God. Church didn't make anybody backslide. You going to hold it against God if somebody disappoints you? I love God. Praise God. I've been disappointed in people. A lot of people disappointed. I've been lied to, spit on. I've been beat up, left for dead. I've had people just slap me around. A couple of times I hit them back, but I wish I hadn't. Amen. God's good, isn't he? But I learned that God is somebody to fall in love with. And if somebody abuses you, mistreats you, don't hold it against God. I also learned, and let me not lose where I was, though. Here we were in Norwich. And some time had gone by, and we just had a few people we had brought to God, and we were starting to get a little congregation together. And, man, you name it. It can happen. Anytime you try to do a work for God, there's going to be something to try to offset it every way you turn. I don't care how big the congregation is, how small the congregation is. Anytime you've got a group of people sincerely trying to do something for God, there's going to be that one-eighth of the crowd there, I suppose you could say. There's going to be that element somewhere just nearby that's going to try to distract, going to try to... I mean, every time we'd get somebody interested in the Word of God, show them the Word of God and teach them about God, they always had a family member or somebody that knew more about the Bible than we did. They always had somebody that they needed a second opinion they needed to take them to. And there's always, anytime they're single, there's always somebody looking for a relationship just around the corner. And as they start to change and start to look good for the kingdom a little bit, those sinners say, my, they're really looking good. They don't know what good looking is. They just see something that they think looks good. But we've had a lot. You know, I've gone through over 300 people in order to have 35 in Norwich. I have. I guess I don't have what some of these pastors have. I can't hold them. Praise God. Because I preach it straight. I'm honest. I believe you got to be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost in order to go to heaven. I don't see anything else in the Word of God. I don't know anything else to preach except what I know. I don't see how anybody can be saved without the Holy Ghost. How can you be saved without the Spirit of Christ? We're none of His. If we're none of His, how are we going to be in heaven with Him? Hallelujah. Well, we got to get a few people gathered together, and then one thing, somebody called. I got this man who, the worst thing you could start a church with is somebody who's out of another church. That's not who you need to start with. I tell you what, if I had it all to do over again, I'd rather just go into town and not know anybody who's ever been to any kind of a church and let God point me to a sinner who knows he's a sinner. Because these church hoppers will get you in trouble. I mean, suddenly somebody found out I was Jesus' name. Somebody found out I had the Holy Ghost. Somebody found out I wanted to start a church in that town. They said, come over to our house. Because we don't go to a certain church in another place anymore because that preacher's no good. Well, I didn't know them, and I didn't know who they were talking about, and I found myself without any money needing a place to live, and they needed somebody to live in their house to help them pay their bills. So I was there, and I heard this, yeah, 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 the way our old preacher used to be. Yeah, 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 yeah. You just don't know, Brother Rutledge, what we've been through. Yeah, 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 yeah. I sat and listened to that. Then every time we'd try to get somebody new, well, they've lived in Norwich all these years, and maybe they should kind of work with them and let me be free to. You know what? Got about 50 people in our church. We were meeting in a Grange Hall. Lost every one of them. Except about 3, 4. Yeah. Because those church hoppers, they're worse than grasshoppers. You can't build on church hoppers. My grandpa said they make a good scaffold, but when you get the building built, you got to get rid of the scaffold. Oh, well, Lord, help me to preach. God, help me. But you can't. I just got back from Arkansas, and I guess that's why I'm talking like this. I'm so fed up with the devil, I'd just like to rub his nose in the ground. I was down there a few years ago, and I had to fly back and forth. I went down there to bury my dad, who was dying, and I was maintaining the work over here in Norwich and trying to do something for God and having to maintain a work in Arkansas, and it's pretty hard to commute back and forth from Arkansas to Connecticut. But I did it for 2 years and was maintaining a work down there, maintaining a work up here the best I could, doing everything by phone. I remember I'd be in Arkansas, and I'd get a call from up here. One of my own daughters said, "Daddy, is there anything wrong with me and my husband going on vacation?" And I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, the assistant pastor said that he wants us to be at church this weekend." I said, "Well, talk to him about it." And come up here, and they call from down there. "Hey, what's wrong with me doing this?" Anytime somebody calls, you want to know what's wrong with doing something. It's probably because they're trying to be disobedient about something. Hallelujah. But as you try to do the work of God, you find yourself with others attaching themselves to you. Sometimes it's just like Paul on the island, and something comes out of the fire and fastens itself. And there's somebody watching from the distance say, "Ah, now we're going to see them go down. Now they're not going to make it look quite attached itself. Oh, that's a church wrecker if I ever saw one. I remember what they did over at that place. Let's see how it comes out of this." But when you're called to God and you're doing something for God and you're on a mission for God, you just shake it off in the fire and the church just keeps going on. But I just got back from down there and my brother-in-law had taken that work. And everything was peaceful, harmony, just beautiful 4 years ago. And I called him at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Man, I need to be in Connecticut. Would you come and pastor this church?" And he said, "Well, I got the church here I pastor already." I said, "Yeah, but I need to go to Connecticut, and you're already thinking about leaving, so why don't you come here?" And I begged him to go there, and he went. So he stayed 4 years, and, in any town, there's always, if you got several churches, there's people over here and over here who are dissatisfied. I'm not talking about the consecrated people. I'm not talking about the dedicated people. I'm not talking about those who are really faithful to the cause of God, who are on their way to heaven. I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about those dissatisfied, disgruntled ones that can't preach it straight. Or they'll get rid of you if they can. You can't preach the truth, or they'll rise up against you. You can't tell it like it is because they're not going to agree with you, and they're going to call some people and try to get them to see it their way. I was raised down there in that town, and I know what I'm talking about. And y'all just, since I'm not talking about anything that goes on around here, so y'all can just say amen. Talking about 1,200 miles away. Wait, amen. But anyhow, I left there. Everything was peaceful harmony. Then I got to hear, he's taking in this group from over here, from this other church, and they've come over to help him. And this group from this other church has come over to help him. And suddenly they had this great big choir. Man, could they sing. Sure. But I got to noticing who was in the choir. When I was down there, I remember the song leader, the now song leader, he was swapping wives with the lead singer who's now singing lead in the choir. And I got to noticing, these lead people in the church. Sure. They were good tithers. They made good money. Uh-huh. And my brother-in-law took the church, and he was rolling in dough. He had the money. But you start letting people that are sinners get on the pulpit and start letting people take a leading part and put them in a position to make them think they're something when they're not. Next thing you know, they're going to turn on you, brother. Get it? They're going to turn on you. You don't put devils in a pulpit and do a work of God. You have to get the devil from the pulpit and let the work of God step on its head. Now, wait a minute. I'm not coming to you as pastor now. I'm just agreeing with you, pastor. But when I went down there this time, here's what we had. We had a new church board, and I hate boards. Oh, I hate boards. If you got a church board, I don't hate you. I just hate boards. That's what they used to whip me with when I was a kid. when I walked in tonight, I asked Pastor Geddes, "Are you in a board meeting?" And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, "You look a little bored." Boards are all right in their place, but they need to stay in their place. Since I don't know anything, see, I'm free tonight. I'm free tonight. You can run me off, and I just got 35 miles to go. I'm okay. Hallelujah. He didn't tell me to say anything. I'm just having a good time. Praise God. If the IRS ever comes after me in Norwich and wants everything I got, all they're going to get is a recliner. And it's very well used. They might get my teeth. The reason I said that, I had this board one time. They said, we're going to get the IRS after you. And at that time, I was pastoring a church that was bringing in about $15,000 a month in tithing and offerings. And I wasn't too interested in talking to those guys at that time. Not that I was cheating or anything. It's just I wasn't too interested in talking to them. Because I'm not the best at keeping records, or I wasn't then. I learned now to keep records. Amen. Minus this, minus that, minus this, minus that. Zero balance. Everything going out. But he had all these people coming in, all these people coming in. And all of a sudden, what happens? I get this phone call. They put him out. They put him out. Who put him out? Wife swappers? Adulterers? Harlots? Fornicators? Backbiters? People filled with envy and greed? Looking for position and prestige. They got rid of their preacher.
Preach.
I think I said all that to say this. There's never been a moment in my life when I've been as happy as I am right now. I have never felt more of the power of God in my life than I feel right this minute. I've been like that for several days now. Everywhere I go, I'm just walking on clouds. It's just, I see something. Every setback is an opportunity. Everything that looks like it's going to bring you down when you're a child of God is something to actually use as exercise to build you up. We don't operate the way the world operates. Praise God, what looks like defeat in the eyes of the world is victory. Amen. When it looks like we're losing, we're actually winning. Praise God. When the devil pushes you in the corner, it's just an opportunity for you to wait on the Lord and renew your strength so you can mount up as on wings of eagles. I'm an overcomer tonight. Are you an overcomer? You know what the Word of God tells us? That they that overcome will inherit certain things. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. Praise God. I told somebody the other day, actually pain is good for you. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have pain? No, it sounds good, you know, just think about it. Wow, especially if you've had a lot of pain lately, you know, wow, it'd be nice to not have pain. But think about it. You step on a nail and you don't even know it. Next thing you know, you hear something and you wonder what it is. You look back, there's no board following you. And there's a nail sticking up in your foot. How'd that happen? Pull it out.
Bless him.
You'd be slicing meat at a grocery store and you cut your arm off and don't even know it till you reach for something. Middle of the night, somebody shoots your eyeballs out and you don't even realize it yet. Can't open your eyes, you think you're just sleepy. You feel up there and there's no eyes. No pain. Pain can be good for you. Sickness is, many times it's just a warning that something's wrong. You need to know if something's wrong. Hallelujah. God's not going to let anything come upon His children that we can't overcome. And one way or another, we are going to be overcomers. I've stood with large crowds, and I've been in a lot of different kinds of gatherings. And I've been in gatherings on Martin Luther King Day. And I've been the one that's taken the camera crews, and we've televised for different functions. And I've stood in the crowds of hundreds and hundreds of people as they lifted their voices in unity, singing, "We shall overcome some happy day." Amen. And I believe that tonight, but I believe it in a deeper way than I believe they were singing it in those meetings. Not only shall we overcome, but we have overcome this happy day.
Amen.
We are overcomers right now. Hallelujah. I'm looking for something great to happen someday. But something great has already happened to me today. Hallelujah. I was going to read the book of Revelation, pretend I did. I just got to say a few more things and I'll be through. But it talks all about overcoming in Revelation, right? Read about the Church of Sardis, Church of Philadelphia, and read what the overcomers do. So I won't get real lengthy. I won't go into all the reading. Let me just tell you, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. And love your enemies. That used to be difficult for me. But I found some keys. I found some things in overcoming. There were times in my life, and maybe I can leave this with you tonight, and maybe somebody needs to hear it. I don't even know why I'm saying all I'm saying, unless there's a need that I just felt like I needed to be here tonight. I don't know why, but God knows everything. Hallelujah. God knows I'm tired. God knows I've been on a trip. God knows I've been out of state. God knows I've been driving. God knows that this morning I didn't have my teeth in. But you got to admit, I look all right. Got my shoes on. I've had a bath. Doesn't matter what you look like, whether you're pretty or ugly. God can use you for somebody if you will let God speak. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A key to Christian overcoming that I found is when people do me wrong, where I used to worry about it, fret about it, think about it, try to figure out what I'm going to do about it, I wonder what's going to happen if I see them again, and what am I going to say, how angry I felt. I learned that some of the things I used to do weren't the best way to overcome. When I was younger, I had a tendency to hold a grudge. When I was younger, I had a tendency to try to give them a piece of my mind sometimes. But I found out I didn't have enough of it to be given away. So, as time goes on, I start learning a little bit about overcoming. Yes. Hallelujah. Anger is good for you if you will control it. Be angry and sin not. Amen. I know what it is to be angry. And somebody to call me on the phone and I hear the message. I hear them, but it's somebody that did me wrong. And so I hear the message machine saying, you'll have to call me back later. I'm not available at this time. It's my voice doing the speaking. I'm sitting right there listening to it while I'm saying it on there. And I know better than to pick up the phone because I don't like the way I feel about that person right now. And it's not that I'm sinning. It's that I've been disappointed. I've been hurt. I've lost respect for that individual because of a lie maybe that was told or something that was bad that person did that I didn't like. And so I'm angry, and the phone rings, and it's that person. Well, right then, I have all these angry feelings in me, and I'm thinking, man, there's some things I'd like to say. Well, those are some of the thoughts I used to have years ago, and I don't want to say those things. I don't want to say those things because it's just going to hurt that person. It's just going to hurt me. So I sit there and I listen to that answer machine and say, you'll have to call back later. I'm not available at this time. And I hear the other person saying, I really need to talk to you, and I just let it wait. I wait. But after a while, I learned it. Then I get this feeling. I love my Jesus. My God has been so good to me. Man, He's been good to me. Then I see Jesus hanging on a cross. And I read those words in the Word of God again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I see how they slapped Him around and they ridiculed Him and they falsely accused Him and said all manner of evil against my Master who loved me enough to save my soul. And it doesn't take much prayer time to suddenly start loving your enemy a little bit. Amen. To suddenly realize you haven't gone through anything. Should have answered that phone, I shouldn't even have had that feeling. But something about me seems to still be human sometimes. And I have to work on that. But then that beautiful moment of overcoming when I finally had that victory that I knew was there, but I just needed that prayer time. I needed that praise time. I needed that surrender time. I needed some moments of worship and looking to my King again and renewing my strength in my Lord. And then it was so wonderful to be able to go to that telephone and call my friend and say, "Hey, you called earlier. I wasn't able to talk to you at that time, but I'm glad to talk to you now."
Praise the Lord. Preach.
There have been meetings that I wanted to go to, but I didn't like the way I felt about what they were doing in those meetings.
Help, Lord.
But after a little time in prayer, I could hardly wait to get to the meeting. Hallelujah.
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 Speak, Lord.
Praise God. See, God takes what seems to be an awkward situation and makes an opportunity out of it. He takes what seems to be, in the way the world would look at it, something that would cause you to have division against your friends, against your neighbors. There is no, Christ is not divided. We have to find a place, our place in Christ, where there is no division. We have to work on it sometimes. But if we will learn to look to the Word of God, we find out that our enemies are even good for us. Another way to overcome. Even in the world, you learn that when the wind is blowing against you, it's an opportunity to gain some strength. When you're having to paddle upstream, there are some opportunities. It takes hard work and exercise sometimes to build up strength sometimes. God knows what we need. It could well be that the battle you're going through right now is preparing you for something that you're going to need strength for tomorrow. Hallelujah. And if you fall down in defeat tonight while you're being worked on and while you're having problems and while you're angry and while you're disturbed and while you don't know which way to turn and things have you all aggravated and frustrated and you just don't know what to do, this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to fall down. This is the time to rise up and be counted for the name of Jesus. Why do you think all through the Word of God you got people in valleys and in dungeons and in jail cells? But notice at the midnight hour they begin to shout and the door comes open and they walk out.
Yes.
There's somebody at the door. But I'm a praying. Don't disturb me now. Oh God, get Peter out of jail. There's somebody at the door and I think it's Peter. Oh no, you're crazy. Oh God, I'm praying for my brother that you'd release him. God, take the chains of bondage off of him. God, let him out of the prison. Help him, Lord, to be free. Hey, it is Peter. Leave me alone. I'm praying for my brother who's in jail. Hey, it's time to start praising God and believing God can do something. You don't have to beg God to take the chains of bondage off your loved ones. Praise God. After you pray for a while, expect a miracle. Expect a door knock. Expect something to happen that you've been praying for. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we think just because somebody messes up our plans a little bit. Maybe we missed it somewhere. No, we may be right in the center of God's will.
Yeah.
Everything for God's child is God ordained. When you're in the work of God and you're in the call of God and you're in the anointing of God, every face you look at is an opportunity, and it's not an accident that you're looking at that face.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Sure, we went through 300 people plus in Norwich to have 35. Praise God. But some of those 300 plus have gone to other places and learned some very valuable lessons. As a young preacher pastoring a church out in Colorado, he's been through some really hard knocks. I told him not to go. He'd only had the Holy Ghost 3 years. I said, don't go. And he went anyhow. Praise God. He had it rough. He lost his family. He lost a lot of things and just went down to bottom and just really, really. But you know what he had that was real, that sustained him? He had the Holy Ghost 3 years. I said, don't go. And he went anyhow. Praise God. He had it rough. He lost his family. He lost a lot of things and just went down to bottom and just really, really. But you know what he had that was real, that sustained him? He had a real, genuine experience with God.
And you can make mistakes, but if you make a mistake after you've been called to God, don't let it defeat you. That's an opportunity to rise up and get strength in God again and say, I'm going to put that mistake behind me. The blood of Jesus has never lost its power. Now a few years have gone by, and he has a little storefront church out in Colorado. He called the other day, and he said, Brother Rutledge, I learned a lot of lessons. I said, I was trying to teach them to you in Norwich, but you took it the hard way. But praise God, brother, we still have fellowship.
Amen. Yep, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
You think, you know, Paul, I read in the 13th chapter, I believe it was, in Acts, Paul and Barnabas went to this place. And there was a man there who wanted to hear what they had to say. And he was starting to be persuaded. Well, there was another man there that was a sorcerer. He saw what was going on, and so he started trying to distract the situation. He didn't want them to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say. So he started giving them his 2 cents worth. But when you're a man of God, it doesn't matter what happens. When you're a child of God, who says what, who does what? You got God with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. And the Jews of that synagogue had already made their major mistake anyhow. When Paul was seated there in the audience, and they said, you brethren have something to say? Say on. They handed him the pulpit. He had something to say. And he told them, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. The one that you allowed to be crucified and brought to an open shame, he's alive. Praise God. You don't just walk into a Jewish synagogue and say those things.
Come on now.
But he stirred up the people, and they started hearing some things. And then all of a sudden, this man saw that somebody was about to be converted. He said, oh, well, wait a minute, let me tell you something. And Paul just told him something about himself. Said, you're going to be blind for a while. You're going to be blind for a while. You know what? Even if he wasn't going to be blind for a while before Paul said that, God was backing Paul. When the man of God comes against the devil, whatever he says, God is saying it.
Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And sure enough, the man was blind for a while. And he went around needing somebody to lead him around. You know what resulted from that? The man that he was trying to hinder from being converted believed even more and was converted to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, because the man that wanted to stop it ended up causing it to happen better. Saul, standing out there on the Damascus Road with letters of authority, said, we're going to kill them. We're going to kill them, Jesus' name people. Jesus' name, Jesus only. That's what they are.
Yeah.
We'll kill them.
Uh-huh.
Got the authority right here in my pocket. We'll kill them. All of a sudden, what's going on? I see a light. I hear a voice.
Yeah.
And he falls. My dad was teaching Sunday school lesson once. He said he fell right off his horse. And the lady in the congregation corrected him and said, Brother Rush, he wasn't riding a horse. My dad said, I know he was. She said, no, sir, it's not in the Bible. He wasn't riding a horse. He said, Sister Minnie, he was riding a horse. Well, where do you see it in the Bible? He said, he was riding a high horse. God knocked him off his high horse. And he said, just like some of you are this morning. But look at him. He falls off his horse. Can't see. The man is going to kill those folks. The man is going to put them out and put them in jail, lock them up, get rid of them. And all of a sudden he finds himself sitting in darkness waiting on some humble servant of God to come knocking at his door. Praise God. I don't know what Ananias thought the first time he got the call. Amen. There's some places you'd rather go than other places. Amen. When you've heard that Saul's killing people, when you've heard that Saul's poking people's eyes out if he gets a chance. When you heard that Saul is going to get you and put you in jail if you even mention the name of Jesus. And then God says, I want you to go talk to him. Oh, Lord, I've heard about this man. But he's praying now. It makes all the difference when somebody starts praying to God.
Hallelujah.
So what looked like it was going to be a sad occasion, had scattered the congregations, had taken all the people of God and caused them sometimes to run to other cities in fear of their lives. what looked like a negative turned out to be a positive. Sometimes that which seems to be the biggest threat turns out to be the greatest blessing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just got a feeling there were some times when Paul would be preaching. Other people had heard about him. They'd come from a distance and they knew what he'd done in the past. And they wanted to see if it was really true. Here they come up to the church. And they get close to the church and they go. And they peep in the door. And they look inside and there's Paul said, "You need to repent of those sins. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Let the Holy Ghost come upon you and speak in tongues. Praise God. And if you get so happy you just speak in tongues all the time, then exercise a little order so somebody else can understand what's going on in the church. But I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you." That ain't the same Paul I heard about. Yeah, but he's praying now. He was causing havoc in the church. Now he's causing havoc in the world. Let's lift our hands and praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I just got to tell you this. I'm almost through. And I know you're standing, but I didn't tell you to stand. But I'm almost through. In Arkansas, if you wasn't through by 9 o'clock, they were through whether you were or not. In fact, I remember preaching down there one time for my father, and it was getting a little past 9 o'clock, and he said, "Son, turn off the lights when you leave." I looked down on the right, and there was a guy sitting there going, I mean, you know, in that particular place, they just, at 9 o'clock, it's time to go. 9 o'clock here, it's time to start. I tricked that guy one night, though. I might have told you about this. He's sitting over there, and I got up to preach, and I read my text, and immediately his head dropped. As soon as I read it, he went, and I said, "That's all I'm going to say tonight." And I stopped. And he didn't know what happened. Dismissed the service. And he went. He said, "What happened?" And then he came up to me after church. He said, "Brother Rhodes, that's about the best I ever heard you preach." We had an old guy in Arkansas. And when I was a kid, sitting back in the audience, and it was lightning and it was thundering and everything, and there's a bad storm going on outside, and the lights went off, and my dad was preaching, and he was just having a time. People were worshiping God. He just went on as if, you know, they didn't care. They were used to living in the country, lights or no lights. They just kept having church. Well, all of a sudden, in the middle of that darkness, we heard somebody say, "Pray, I've gone blind." "Oh, pray, I've lost my sight." I think even God has fun in church sometimes. See, I was raised in this. And I know I'm seeming like a comedian tonight, but I tell you what, I'm having a good time. And I believe there's somebody here tonight that needs to know that you can have problems and it's all right. You can have moments of frustration and it's all right. You can have things happen that are confusing around you and it's all right. It may not be all right because the thing that's causing the problem, but it's all right if you're an overcomer, because somehow in the middle of it all, even if you get angry, you're not going to sin. Did you know you can be sin free? "You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you..." You got to sin more or less every day, right? Come on out. Does it say you got to keep on sinning? "And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all sin." Yeah, but. There is no yeah, but. I done figured out how God's going to divide the sheep and the goats. Yeah, yeah. You know, sheep, you know, the sheep will follow, but the goat's butt. Yeah, but. Yeah, but I got to work late. But we got a family get together. But I overslept. But they loaded me down with work to do at school. But we're about to get married. But I got a lot of things to do. But I got to pay my bills. But what am I going to do, preacher? But. And God says, "All right, let's divide the sheep from the goats. All the butts set over here, and let's get the goat, the sheep over here." That didn't sound good, did it? But one thing wonderful about our Savior, He can take the butts. I mean, the goats. And change them into sheep. Praise God. Only God can do that. You know, I preached on that one time, Pastor Geddes. I was up in Canada. And I dreamed a message. And I got up and preached the next night. And then they tried to vote me out. Because they weren't ready for that kind of talk up there. Maybe you're not. I'll leave in a few minutes. But anyway, I dreamed it. I dreamed that you got to get the butt out of the church.
Quick.
I dreamed that. And in my dream, I had this big crowd, and I said, "Everybody say butt." They all said, "Butt." And God wants to get the butt out of the church. And when I preached it, they didn't like it.
Get the butt out.
But it's still true anyhow. It needs to be, "Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord, I'll do it. Lead the butt out of it." Don't say, but I got to do this, but I... No. "Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord. If there's any way I can do this, Lord, I'll do it." Hallelujah. Let's praise Him one more time. God, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's an opportunity just ahead of you, just on the other side of your sickness. Just the other side of this valley, there's a mountaintop waiting for you. Praise God. Just the other side of this pain, there's a testimony waiting for you to give it. Praise God. Just up ahead after this disappointment has passed, praise God, there's a victorious testimony that God is going to bless you with. Hallelujah. We're overcomers tonight. We have overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, "Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come even now, Lord Jesus. Come even now, Lord Jesus. Come even now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul say yes. My soul say yes. My soul say yes to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 My God, we are overcomers. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. Maze Halamashunda. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you tonight for the wonderful words of life. Came into our hearts from the preacher. Thank you, Lord God, for the message and the messenger. Hallelujah. My God, my God. We love you tonight because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Gave us the gift and the blessing of reconciliation in our souls. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Lead on, Lord God. Guide us. Pathway of righteousness for thy name's sake. Hallelujah. We surrender to you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, come into our hearts. Come into our minds, into our souls. Help us to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. In the name of Jesus, the only name whereby salvation has been found. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Hallelujah. It's just good to be here tonight. Sitting in the midst of your people, Lord God. Being encouraged to continue to overcome. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your name, which is above every name. And at thy name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your joy. Hallelujah. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, you know the way that we take. The blessing we stand in need of. Hallelujah. Let that young man, that young woman come to you, Lord, tonight. Surrendering with upstretched arms, open mind and open heart. For the thank you in their souls. Lord Jesus, thank you for all things, both great and small. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Did not our heart burn within us while the man of God spake with us by the way? Praise the Lord. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God for his words came to us tonight. God does all things well. Praise the Lord. And no idea that Pastor Rutledge would be here on tonight, but the Lord knows. Praise the Lord. And those of you that say you want to be delivered, the preacher told you, you have to have an overcomer's mentality. I'll share this with you. Praise the Lord. The worst thing you can have from an athletic concept is to have a defeatist mentality before the game starts. Praise the Lord. Huh? If you think you're going to lose, you've lost before you got off the game start. Hallelujah. But somebody said a long time in holiness, you can't lose for the power that we use. And that is in the name of the Lord Jesus. All things are subject to the name of Jesus. If you're sick in body tonight, sick in mind tonight, lay hands on your body, lay hands on your head, and say, I've overcome. I have overcome. Don't think of it as a prayer of intent, but right now, I have overcome. If you want to be saved, sure enough, filled with the Holy Ghost, say, I have received the gift of the Holy Ghost according to the word of God. You believe that in your heart. Like they did in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. While Peter yet preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believe. Hallelujah. My God, my God. When you believe like that, God. Hallelujah. Oh, you have just opened your mouth. With confidence in God. And the presence of God will come down in you. Your hand will go up and your mouth will fly open. Your anointing, God anointed with God. You will feel the presence of God like you never felt it before. You will feel great joy. Hallelujah. You will feel God's presence all over you. Thank you. You can say, I know I've been born again. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. You have to think like that, church. You have to think like that, otherwise the devil would defeat you every time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, you see, hallelujah. When you start thinking that based on the word of God, you have achieved those things already. Then Paul said, look at those things that were not as though they were, praise the Lord, as though they have happened. Praise the Lord. That's what I like about this word. You see, little faith grows into bigger faith. It catapults you into another realm, into another level. Praise the Lord. My God, my God. If you don't ever get the little ones out of the way, you'll never be able to understand the big ones. Praise the Lord. I believe that Jesus saved, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe that Jesus saved. Yes, his blood washes whiter than snow. My God, my God. Remind me of the woman with the issue of blood, when she tried everything. But something in her said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. You know what? When she made contact with Jesus, Jesus said, who touched me? Disciples, because they weren't on that level and wasn't in that area, didn't understand. What do you mean by who touched you, seeing this great multitude? He said, because burnt you. The woman came trembling and said, Lord, I touch you. She was the only one in that throne in the multitude that had gotten the results, because she took her frail body and she didn't stay home with it. And she knows the Lord have mercy. Even now, hallelujah, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. Somebody ought to be able to say right now, if I can touch, if I can just but touch the master, I know I can have, I can have, I know he will fill me with his Holy Ghost. I know he would heal my body. I know he would heal my sin-sick soul. I know he would give me deliverance in my heart, make me feel like running, make me feel like leaping, make me feel like jumping, because I've overcome. Hallelujah. I know I've overcome. Right, God, I came in one way, but I'm going out another, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I've got joy. I've got joy. I got joy unspeakable and is full of glory. And I don't feel no ways tired. Hallelujah. Because what I came for, I've got it. You believe it. I've received it. You're going to have to believe it. I can't turn me around. There ain't no doubt. Nothing in me. How do you make me feel that God lies? Because God, hallelujah, have given me the eye to victory. Hallelujah. I wonder who feel like they got the victory tonight. I said, if you feel like that, you ought to feel God's joy right now. If you feel like you got the victory already, you ought to feel God's anointing right now. If you feel like you heard the preacher and the word of God had done something, you ought to be able to lift your hands, shout for joy, speak in tongues, let God know I've got for my soul. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. It's all right. I got my victory. I got what I wanted from the Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got just what I wanted from the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of the praise. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the message. Thank God for the victory. The overcoming joy. I got all I want from the Lord. And it's all right. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for it. Each one of you tonight. Praise the Lord. If there's one that want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, If someone be baptized in the phrase Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to raise your hands. Come on down. Let somebody prepare you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the only name whereby salvation has been found. And if you have had a heart of repentance to want to obey the word of God in its entirety, that's what you do. Obey the word. You don't have to understand. You don't have to see it all. You just have to believe that God says exactly what he means. It means exactly what he says. Praise the Lord. Those of you that have been baptized and have not been filled, I want you to know it's God's gift. Praise the Lord. No one was there on the day of Pentecost because nobody had received the Holy Ghost prior to that but John the Baptist. And he was dead. So he wasn't there to tell them what they were looking for and what to expect. But when the power of God came on the day of Pentecost, there was a noise abroad, and the folks that were not in the upper room came to see what it was all about. And Peter stopped speaking in tongues and said, "This is that. This is what Joel was talking about." Even though Joel didn't get what he was talking about, I'm a witness. Hallelujah. That this is what he was prophesying about. And when you get the Holy Ghost, and when you believe the Lord, like the word say you should believe the Lord, the Holy Ghost comes in like a rushing mighty wind, and is set upon you. Hallelujah. My God. And you begin to let God use you, and you don't use God anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you looking for somebody to tell you hallelujah? And when that's a new style Sears catalog Holy Ghost that people are giving you today. But when you believe, you receive. And when you got it, the preacher says, if you get it in you like you ought to have in it, it will lead you and guide you in all truth. But you can get these Sears catalog Holy Ghost. These come to Cal Doors if you want. And next time the old adversary come to your house, you're going to give up.